okay today?
I got a card I would like to read first. To Dry Creek Baptist Church, thank you so much for your prayers and support during my difficult time. Your kindness and prayers have meant the world to me. Thank you all, Miss K and family. Good to see Miss K back. Faith Ann did well. She's gaining strength every day too, so keep praying for both of them. This morning, would you turn to John 3:16? You might have heard of that verse before. John 3:16. I want to talk to you this morning about how God speaks to dead people. And you'll get that later on, maybe. It's amazing how in the church world and political world and the whole world we live in, people can take certain, I guess they call them sound bites, take out just a little bit of what somebody says and play it over and over and over again, and then not give you any chance to reason it out or to challenge it or things like that. Don't even know what to call it, religion, I guess, maybe a Calvinism. Y'all ever heard of that? I made a statement not long ago that I don't think I'd ever say that in the pulpit, but today I'm going to say it, and because it's not right. And I want to tell you this morning from the bottom of my heart why there's a dangerous teaching that's out there. I was in Watertown not long ago, before we came here, and I preached a message similar to this, not the same, but at the end of the service, I had a man come up to me and tell me I needed to meet with the church and tell them more about that, what I preached, because there was a whole bunch of that in their church. And I'm going to tell you the story that I told there. That's the only thing that's going to be the same about this message and that message. But we believe the way we are, without nothing added or nothing taken away, that God gives us a conscience. We're created in the image of God. We have reason, don't we? We have the ability to hear the gospel and respond to it and be saved. That's what the Bible teaches. Whosoever will is what the Bible says. But there's a group of people that say that that's against what the Bible teaches. And there's a verse they'll take out like a soundbite that will tell us that we're dead in our trespasses and sins. And we are. Spiritually, we're dead, aren't we? And what they'll do is they'll use a example of a man in a casket and make fun of us. And they'll laugh. And they'll say, you're going up to a casket and hollering at that guy and saying, oh, you need to get up now. Whosoever will, you need to be saved. And they can't do it because they're dead. But the problem is when there's a dead body, that means the spirit's gone. Right? And we're not talking about physical death. Once you're gone is too late if you haven't chosen right. There's a responsibility. There's a choice. In fact, I do believe that in order to be right with God and be saved, you have to submit to Him. Sometimes in submitting and being converted, we ask, don't we? We accept, don't we? But those terms are wrong and bad and against the Bible in a lot of places, but not here. I don't believe it's here. Don't want it to be here. But this morning we want to talk about how God enables us, how He helps us to see the need of a Savior. And what do we do to be saved? Because that's the most important thing on this side of eternity, to know about Jesus and what we need to do. Some people say if you repent, that's works, and you're not saved by works. And it gets really, really messy, doesn't it? So I've done my very best. It's took me all week long to narrow it down. I had so much this morning to preach about 3 o'clock this morning that we wouldn't have got out of here until 2:30 maybe. But I'm thankful that maybe it's just 1 o'clock now. No, I'm just kidding. I think we can get it done in a timely way. But it's a serious thing, the world that we live in. And you shouldn't have somebody pick what somebody says and broadcast it across the news when you have the power and judge that person like they do, don't they? And did you hear what he said? No opportunity to clarify, no opportunity to explain. That's not the way the Bible is supposed to be taught. It's the way politics are. It's the way most of the media are. But this morning we're going to hear from the Lord. And it's so specific in so many different places. It's the Word of God. It's the truth. And we can know without a doubt what we need to do to be saved. Let's bow our heads as we pray. Father, we thank you so much for your love in sending Jesus to die for us. Lord, we have so many spiritual experiences to prove that we've been changed, we've been born again, that we're not the same as we used to be. And Lord, that only comes by your power, your strength, and your salvation. Lord, help us to have more assurance today than we've ever had. But also, if there's one that's not sure, at least today, Lord, we pray they'd be sure about what you say about it. And Lord, if it's a matter of asking, we ask that you would save them today and help them to understand about you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There's two things in there. We either believe or we perish. Perish is more than dying. Perish is a physical death and a spiritual death. And a spiritual death means that we're separated from God forever and ever and ever. God so loved, didn't he? Not just love, he so loved the world. The world is everybody, everywhere, of all time. That's how I understand the world, don't you? It's not just a certain group of folks set aside before the world was created. It's everybody, whosoever. And the problem is verse 17 says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, that the world through him might be saved. The reason God sent his Son Jesus into the world was to save us, and not to judge us, and not to condemn us. And if you stop right there, you'd be in trouble. Because a whole lot of folks say amen to that. Well, you don't judge me and you don't condemn me. Well, that's not what he's saying. There's a reason why Jesus came to save. That's because we're condemned already. If everybody in the world before Jesus saved them wasn't condemned, they wouldn't need to be saved. He didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him. The world to be saved and not condemned needs Jesus. Through him, Jesus, is what God loved and how he loved us. Verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned. When we believe on the Lord Jesus, we're saved and we're not condemned. See the separation. Condemned or saved. Perish or believe. There's a specific separation. It's one or the other. It's not a little bit of both. It's one or the other. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Everybody that comes into the world, eventually they'll understand because of the spiritual power that God gives us through his word. Everybody's going to come to the conclusion they're condemned already because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That's what causes us to be condemned, is we don't believe in Jesus. Not that we did bad things, because we do. Not because we didn't do a lot of things or left out some things. Those are bad. Those aren't right. But we're condemned because we don't believe in the name of God's only begotten Son, Jesus. And this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Now, what condemns people is because of the light of Jesus that's already in the world, that men didn't want that light. They don't want that love. Because men love darkness rather than light. There's a choice right there, isn't there? Man would rather love darkness than light. Everybody is condemned already because they don't believe. And everybody has a responsibility or a choice. And the reason why they make the wrong choice is because their deeds were evil. And when deeds are evil, everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. Neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Knowingly and willingly in my mind and in my heart, when I'm lost, I'm condemned. I'm knowingly and willingly against the light of God because I don't want to hear it, because it just makes me feel guilty because my deeds are evil. That's pretty logical. That's easy to understand, isn't it? The reason why I don't want anybody to come to my house and open up the doors and the cupboards is because I got something to hide. You know? And I hate for somebody to come expose me because I don't want anybody to know what I'm doing. So I have a responsibility and I have a choice. And I would choose rather to go on with my bad life and cover it up where nobody can see it than to have somebody with the truth come in with a light and open it up for everybody to see and prove that I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do. It happens all the time, doesn't it? I have kids, you have kids, grandkids. It's never, never the same. I had a little girl that was on a computer at a young age, and I told her, if I ever come in there and see you hit the escape button, you're up to something. And I put that, was it the computer cop or whatever? And for a while, I would spend at night looking through where they was at. And one day, my little girl got a little bit older, and I'm on my computer a lot. And I would be on my computer, and she'd come in, and she stuck her head in there. She said, Daddy, did I just see you hit the escape button? She always put it back on me whenever she could get a chance, and she was good about it. But you see, the Bible is very clear that whosoever will, we have a will, we have a responsibility, we have a choice. The way that we are, without nothing added or nothing taken away, in the way that I am, with the conscience that God give me, in the guilt that I already have of knowing between good and evil, that I know whether I'm lost and condemned or whether I'm saved. It's the light of the gospel when it's preached that shines upon us to help us to see that we're wrong. It happens to everybody. Some folks go forever, long time. Some people get saved early in life. But in verse 21, it sums it all up. But he that doeth truth, notice what it says, not understand, not think, but he that actually doeth truth. The truth of God's in me, the light of God's in me. I know I'm condemned. I repent. I'm saved. I know the will of God in my life. And I do things that are right because God gives me the power. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light. When I'm saved, and I want to please God, and I want to be obedient to Him and not disobedient. I want more light and more light to do better and be stronger and grow in what I'm doing. Isn't that right? What about being sick? We want to get better, don't we? The people that want to get better, they get more tests run. They get more things understood that somebody else knows that might be wrong so they can be healthy. There's a lot of folks I see at work that they quit drinking sodas, they quit eating crackers, peanut butter crackers. Can you believe that? I don't know about peanut butter crackers. I got to have my peanut butter crackers. That's the best protein I've ever had, with an orange drink too. They go together. But there's a lot of people that will give up a whole lot of things, and you can see them lose weight, you can see them look different. It's worth it to them to be healthy and live longer. We're like that, aren't we? I mean, I'm like that. I mean, you go to the doctor and you get a bad test and you get the test results. Oh, I got to do better. I got to do right. What if we would do that about sin? That's the definition right there of what verse 21 says. He that doeth the truth wants to come to the light so that his deeds may be manifest that God's the one that put this in me. I want to know for sure that the love I have for my wife and my family and my church, The things that I do for God, I want to know without a doubt that it was God that put it in me to do these things. And the only way I can do that is keep coming to the light. Keep praying, keep studying, coming to church, fellowshipping with God's people. So God tells us in many places that spiritually speaking, we're dead. And when he saved us, he made us alive. There's a difference in spiritual death and physical death. And when people put them together, it messes up anybody's understanding of what's going on. I want you to turn to John chapter 1. Back up a couple pages. John chapter 1. And look at verse 11. John 1:11. There was a teaching, and there still is, that only the elect of God are going to go to heaven. By grace and grace alone, not by works. The elect of God are predestined to go to heaven. In fact, God decides before the foundation of the world who's going to go to heaven and who's going to go to hell. That's what they teach. The very elect of God, you'll hear people preach that nobody else has a chance. If you're not elected before the world began to be saved, you cannot come to Jesus. You cannot be saved because you are the elect and everybody else is not. You're elected to go to hell because God predestined that before the world began. Have you heard much about that? Some of y'all really have, haven't you? But let me tell you what the Bible says about the elect Jews in John chapter 1, verse 11. He came to his own, his elect, and his own received him not. Is that true? Did he come to the Jewish people? They didn't receive him. They rejected him. They put him on a cross, didn't they? They hated him. How could this happen of the teaching that I just told you? That the elect already got in. God already decided there was no way they was ever not going to get out. They don't even have to choose because he irresistibly picks them where they can't have a choice even. They just automatically are his. And there's nothing they have to do to be saved. Well, the Bible talks about the elect people, the Jewish people, the nation. In this text right here, doesn't it? John 1:11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. The Bible teaches that God rejected the Jews and brought the church in, not to take their place. That's another story altogether. But they didn't receive him. They didn't love him. They didn't come to him. They rejected him. They received him not. He came unto his elect that they called elect. And the elect didn't receive him. They weren't saved, the Jewish people, some of them, because they never got this right. They never repented. The elect. But the Bible says in verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. He came unto his own. They didn't receive him. There were some people that received him. And we know from the other verses that that means believing. Did you see that? Power to become the sons of God in verse 12, even to them that believe on his name. Receiving Jesus and believing on his name is the same thing. So those that received him not, those that received him, both of them, before God came to them, before Jesus came to them, they were not saved. Right? That's logical, that's biblical, that's plain as day, isn't it? They weren't saved, they were condemned already. Because they didn't believe. But to as many as received him, after God came to them, they were saved. They believed. They received. But before he came to either one of them, neither one of them had any power to become a son of God. They were neither one sons of God till they received him. Right? The elect, the Jews, God's people, rejected him. They didn't have any power to become, and they were not called sons of God. But as many as received him, to many that has believed on him, to them, gave him power, privilege, authority to become a son of God. And then, all men are never automatically born sons of God in their works or their will or their ways. Look at verse 13. The people that received him were born not of blood. It didn't have anything to do because they were Jewish. It didn't have anything to do on who their parents were. That's not how we're born again. It's not by blood, nor the will of the flesh. The will of the flesh, which means there's something inside of me without God that I can do or say or be to be saved. We're not born like that spiritually, are we? We're not born again like that. Nor of the will of man. I can't work. I can't labor. I can't determine myself to be saved. So we see in the scripture so far that Jesus came for a reason. He came to die to save people from their sins. His people. We're his people when we're saved, aren't we? And we're already condemned because we haven't believed. When we believe and receive him, after he's come to us, we're saved. We're given the power to become the sons of God. To me, that's the most simplest gospel that there ever was. John 3, John 1, they both go together. You can't separate any other teaching and take verses out of the Bible and what men say and make it the gospel. Jesus had to come, didn't he? They laugh and they play and you're just talking to dead people. God never talks to dead people. And the first problem I've got is we're all dead. If he's going to talk to us, it's going to be when we're dead. It's not that he doesn't talk to dead people, because he does. But how does he talk to dead people? Turn back to Genesis chapter 2. Adam and Eve. I did Peter last week, so Adam and Eve this week. That's an inside story there. I think I said something about it last week. Genesis chapter 2. Look at verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man. Commandment. That's pretty strong, isn't it? It's not a choice. It's not a responsibility, except you don't do it and you get judged. It's your responsibility to make a choice because you're responsible. The Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Right? Adam didn't die physically right now. He began to die physically, but he died spiritually. In the very instant day that you eat this fruit that I've commanded you not to, you will die. And what happened? Did he eat it? He did, didn't he? Did he die spiritually? He sure did. Look at chapter 3, verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Still alive so far with a command and a responsibility on don't do this, don't disobey me. You have a choice, Adam, to live or to die, and you can choose. Well, the Bible says that they ate it, both of them together. Look at verse 7. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig trees together and made themselves aprons. They ate it, and they died. And when they died spiritually, God talked to them, didn't he? He talks to dead people. How does he talk to dead people? He talks to dead people with their eyes wide open. Huh? They were innocent. They didn't know. They were okay with God. But when they died spiritually, God talked to them with their eyes wide open. People that are lost, that are condemned because they reject the Lord, knowingly and willingly have their eyes opened about spiritual things. Because the same in John chapter 1, they don't want the light, they hate the light. They run from the light. They don't want what they've done exposed, John 1 says. Isn't that right? And it happens exactly the same way in the scriptures that we read this morning. The eyes of them both were opened. They knew that they were naked. They sewed fig trees together and made themselves aprons. All of a sudden, the spiritual death that they now experienced, they had something they didn't know because it was the tree of knowledge of good and evil. They didn't know between the knowledge of good and evil. Neither do children. They haven't come to the age of understanding. Even though they're human, even though they're going to be condemned eventually and they'll see it enough to be saved, there's a time in children's life that they're innocent like Adam and Eve. They're taught responsibility. They say, we teach them, don't do this, do this. Don't do this or you'll pay. You got a choice. We teach them that, don't we? I'll put that down. I'm going to beat that poet to death for that. But see, it's the same way as today, isn't it? There comes a day when children are taught, and we were taught. And when we disobey God, there comes a time that we eat that fruit, whatever it is, whatever sin it is, and our eyes are open, and we know we've done wrong, don't we? That's dead people being dealt with by God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They knew, and what the problem was first was between each other. Dead people that are spiritually know enough about their sin and know that they're wrong that they cover it up with each other. Adam and Eve had been together for who knows how long, and they were naked and they didn't even know it. But all of a sudden, when they died, their eyes were open. And they knew that they were naked, and they had to put fig leaves on their parts, private parts, so they couldn't embarrass each other. Isn't that right? Dead spiritually. They can be talked to. They can know. They can make judgments. They can know that they've done wrong enough to get away from any truth or any light because they don't want to be exposed. But then even more, what about God? How do dead people that are spiritually dead, that are condemned already and know they are and willingly go on in sin, avoiding any kind of salvation experience or any preaching or any judgment, how do they deal with God? They can't deal with each other. So they got to make things up and cover things up to make it right with each other, hoping that that's as far as it goes. But then verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And God said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? That's the Bible teaching of dead spiritually. Not that, oh, you're just hollering at somebody in a casket. Ha, 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 they'll never get up. That's very offensive to anybody's intelligence. People are dead in their trespasses and sins. They're spiritually dead, aren't they? And they knowingly and willingly in this body, in their spirit, know that there's a God. They know there's a heaven. They know there's a hell. They know there's salvation. They refuse to do anything but cover up their sins amongst each other. But as quick as they try to do that, they can't avoid the power of God. They commanded them not to do it. And they got to answer to God, and we have to answer to God, and He's coming after them. He came to his own, Adam and Eve, and they received him, didn't they? Adam received the Lord that came to him by confession. What did you do? Where are you at? Who told you? And he answered. And when you follow along just a little further, there's a greatest promise of salvation in Genesis 3:15, isn't there? Forever and ever and ever. Look at 15. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And he's talking about Jesus Christ coming as their Savior for the sin that they committed. Because whosoever will included Adam and Eve, didn't it? They were dead. They died. They were disobedient. They were responsible. But when God came to them, they had a choice to receive him or to reject him. And they received him, didn't they? And they had power, privilege, opportunity to become the sons of God. God talks to the dead, doesn't he? I want you to turn to Luke 15. Luke chapter 15. Look at verse 11. Luke 15:11. You know about this, the prodigal son. This is the most awesome way that we can understand today to put a stop to that teaching that's so wrong and so wicked, to get people to get confused and be a stumbling block to them about their salvation. A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me, and he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance on riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen in that country, and he sent him into fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. What a story that you've heard many times, probably, if you've been in church. A man got all that he had coming to him before his daddy died, and he went away. He was going to be his own man. When I get 18, I'm leaving the house. I said that it was 17. I was wrong. I got out at 17. Daddy said, you get out of here, I can get $600 for your room, probably. He wasn't worried about it. That's just the way I grew up. I don't know about you. I didn't do a whole lot against my daddy, because he meant everything he said. And even some things he looked, he didn't have to say. But this son took everything his father gave him and went where he wanted to go, lived it up, did everything he wanted to do, and run out of money, and then there came a famine. And a Jewish man, that's what this is talking about, being around pigs and hogs would be the last thing he'd ever want to do. And he found a job feeding swine. And it got so bad and he got so hungry that he's about to eat, or probably did eat, what he was feeding the hogs. That's pretty dead, isn't it? That's pretty wrong. That's pretty disrespectful, rebellious against his father, isn't he? Didn't love his father, just wondered what he could get. Didn't care about anybody else but himself, and he knew if he had the opportunity and the money, I'm not ever coming back. He was dead, wasn't he? But there were some seeds planted at home that he didn't realize. There were some seeds that was being watered at this very time that we talk about from the Bible. We water, we plant, God gives an increase, doesn't he? There's a lot of things I learned when I was a kid, and I didn't remember them then, but I do now. And when the Lord was dealing with me and the troubles that I had, I could remember back the way my daddy talked, the way he taught me. And I knew I was wrong. I knew I was away. I knew my sin. And then the Bible says in verse 17, and when he came to himself, when he came to his own logic, his own reasoning, the seeds that were planted, the seeds that were watered, when he came to himself, he remembered the influence, the love, the things that his daddy had given. The Bible says, when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? Look what he said. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto my father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. He repented, didn't he? That's what happens to most of us in this day and time. We're taught and we understand and we go through Bible school, we go through church, we go through life, and we get in a bad place, don't we? And we remember. And we repent. And we decide to turn around. In this particular case, he didn't expect his father to receive him. I'll just say, Daddy, I'm sorry. I'll pay it back. You make me one of the hired servants, and I'll work and work till I pay back every cent. But his daddy didn't want to have anything to do with that. Look at verse 22. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, because he was waiting for him. He was expecting him. When his father saw him a great way off and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. That boy didn't even get home. Look at us today. We've done some bad things, haven't we? To each other, to our husbands, our wives, our children, our church, everything, haven't we? And because of the things God put in our heart a long time ago that are still there, planted and watered, we come to ourselves and we say, I've got a responsibility. I've got a choice, don't I? Whosoever will, and I will, arise. And I'm going back home, and I'm going to work this off and do everything I can until I get it right. That's me and you, isn't it? But Daddy was waiting. Daddy didn't even let him get home. Daddy, which represents God, ran out and met him and hugged his neck and kissed him. And Father said to his servants in verse 22, but the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. You know why? For my son was dead, and God spoke to him in his mind, in his conscience, in his responsibility, in his past, in his relationship with his father. My son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and found, and they begin to be merry. God speaks to dead people, doesn't he? And dead people aren't in a grave. They're not in a casket. Because when they're that way physically dead, the spirit's gone. But when we're spiritually dead, Christ comes to us, doesn't he? And when he comes to us, and we receive him not, it doesn't matter what your preacher told you or what you believe. You can believe that you're elect from the foundation of the world, but if you haven't received and believed on Jesus Christ, when he comes to you, see, that's the point. Nobody just goes to God on their own. Nobody does. Adam and Eve didn't go to God. He came to them. The prodigal son thought he was going to his father, but his father was coming to him. As many as received him. Adam received him, Eve received him. The prodigal son received the father. And as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the son of God. But even those that believe on his name. You see, the things that's in the Calvinist movement is not true. It's not right. And I never thought I would say that. I would if I talked to you in private, but it's a serious thing, isn't it? There's people that will tell you that even believing is a work and we're not saved by works. I listen to, I guess it's YouTube. That's on my phone. What I watch sometimes. He used to be this and he used to be that. He's been in every church. And he read a scripture that he has put his life on. And he says, I'm going to be like Lazarus. I might be one of those that are predestined to go to hell. So I've got to lay here like Lazarus, dead as a doornail, and never do nothing in my life, waiting on God to save me. How sad that is to get to that point, huh? But that's not what the Bible says. does it? The Bible says people knowingly and willingly, in everything that God gives them, even as lost as they can be, they still see, they still know, they still hear, they still run away from God. And they run away from God because they're ashamed. And ashamed is a conviction and of needed of repentance. And if you're here today, I can plant and water, and God can do a work. But you got to see. You got to be responsible. If you die and go to hell, it's not because Jesus never came to you. Because he came to people. He came to his own, didn't he? And they received him not. He can come to you many, many times. I don't know. His grace is really good, isn't it? But there's going to come a day when he's not coming. Because you've already settled it. Just like the Jewish people. They did not become sons of God. They did not have the power. They refused to believe on his name. And they are not sons of God. They're racially Jewish people, religiously, aren't they? But there were some people in the day of the cross that rejected Jesus, proving where they are right now in eternity. And there were some very soon after that that were Gentiles that were saved. For as many as received him, that was them, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, to those that believe on his name. And they did, didn't they? To me, it's pretty simple and easy, but we make it difficult. Adam would have never thought, but it happened. It wasn't even something he did. It was Eve. But he was responsible, wasn't he? That sin that day covered both of them, made them both guilty before God. That prodigal son, he did it all on his own, didn't he? All within himself, he thought about this and made his decision, made his choice. Thank his father for loving him like he did while he could. That's what we need to do. You can look back and say, I don't know why they went out, but I know that they know I love them. And I'll be here for them. And I'm looking for them and I'm waiting for them. And when they come to themselves, and we do, don't we? We'll come back. Because God talks to dead people. When it comes to spiritual salvation of the lost and dead, everybody's dead. And the only way anybody's going to come to life is for God to come after them and to speak to them and point out, hey, you're responsible. Sure would be bad to see somebody listen to the word all their life and miss heaven. And the only way you'll miss heaven is by not receiving Jesus when he comes to you. Is he coming? Has he come to you? Is he knocking? Is he trying? Is he working through you? And see, that's another thing. You can't say he's trying. Well, sure he is. He's doing everything he can because we have a choice. We have an option. He loves us so much that he wants us to love him for who he is. Not to make us, not to force us. What kind of love would that be? I know my kids love him because if they don't all... That's not much love, is it? God's not like that, is he? As bad as we've been and as bad as we could be, God already knew that, didn't he? We're condemned already. But it's the receiving him, the spiritual, the love that we have now. And it's hard. It's hard for me to ever get away from my past. The devil still brings things up. And everybody that I know is dead and gone that would ever know anything I did when I was younger. But the devil knows. And I used to worry about it. It used to bother me. But I'm glad it's still there. It humbles me. And I thank the Lord that there is a little reminder of what I used to be. Because if I forgot what I used to be, because I'm human, there's a chance I could do it all over again. Not me. I've been burned on the stove. I've been in ankle-deep water taking things off of robots with electricity going and didn't even know. That was powerful stuff. I could hear the buzzing. And I knew if I got shocked, it would be over. And I got metal in my eye. You know, I never got it in again. You know why? Because I remember. We need to remember where we failed. If it tears us up, if it humbles us, that's okay. But we've never done it again, have we? Thank God that He leaves some things alone for us to know how much He loves us and how much He wants to be with us so we don't ever go back that way. If you're here today and you need to come pray, come pray. If you need me to help you, I will. Teach people. Put seeds and plants and things in their way and pray for God to water them. Because one of these days, people are going to come to themselves and come to God, aren't they? I ask you to stand this morning and bow your heads and close your eyes.